Something always turns up. That's my philosophy. And when it turns up, I know what to do every time. An older man is following me down the New York streets. Many number of reasons why. He could be a pervert. He could know something about me I don't want known. But some instinct tells me he's going to be that something which just turned up. So I go into the Green Cage bar and order a drink to see what he's going to do.
Pardon me. Are you Tom Ripley?
Yes, I am.
Well, my name is Herbert Greenleaf, Richard Greenleaf's father. I'm not mistaken, am I? You are a friend of Richard's, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Do you think we could sit down at a table?
Of course. I'd be happy to.
A faint connection in my brain. Dickie Greenleaf. A tall, blonde fellow. He had quite a bit of money. Maybe Dickie's in a jam. Maybe his father wants help or advice. Who knows? I am all politeness and attention.
I wasn't quite sure it was you. Didn't you come up to the house once with Richard?
I think I did.
It was the Shrievers who gave me a description of you. They told me you come to this bar now and then. Well, this is the first night I've tried to find you, so I suppose I'm lucky. The Shrievers seem to think you know Richard quite well.
I didn't, of course. I haven't seen him for a couple of years. But why say that? And why tell him the Shrievers admire me because I helped Charlie cheat on his income tax?
You see, Richard's been in Europe for 2 years. I want him to come home. He has responsibilities here. But he just ignores everything that I or his mother try to tell him.
I'm sorry to hear that.
He says he prefers living out there, but his mother's quite ill right now, and he ought to be here. He says he's painting. There's no harm in that, but he doesn't have the talent to be a painter. He's got a great talent for boat building, though, if he'd just put his mind to it. You know, you're the first of Richard's friends who's even been willing to listen. The others all take the attitude that I'm trying to interfere with his life.
Where is he staying in Europe?
A town called Mongibello, south of Naples. He's bought a house there and a boat. Divides his time between sailing and painting. He's got his own income, nothing huge, but enough to live on in Italy, apparently. Well, every man to his taste, I suppose.
Dickie's probably having the time of his life. An income, a house, a boat. Why should he want to come home?
I believe you're in the insurance business, Mr. Ripley.
That was a little while ago. I'm in the accounting department of an advertising agency at present.
Oh. If you really want to know, Mr. Greenleaf, life isn't that good. Living from week to week, no bank account, dodging the cops because of a little scam of mine, and bored, bored, bored. I'm bored with you too, Mr. Greenleaf. But I am beginning to smell something out.
This job of yours.
Look, Mr. Greenleaf, I'd be very happy to write to Dickie if you'll give me his address. We were good friends once, so I suppose he'll remember me.
I'm sure he
I'm just sorry that I'm not quite free now, or I'd be very glad to go over and see if I could persuade Richard to come home myself. Maybe I could have some influence on him.
If you seriously think... That is, I don't know whether you're planning a trip to Europe or not.
I wasn't, no.
You see, Richard was always so influenced by his friends. If you or somebody like you could get leave of absence, I'd even send them over to talk to him. It'd work better than me going over, and I don't suppose you could get leave of absence from your present job, could you?
My heart takes a leap. Now my brain's at work, too. I've no job prospects, and New York is becoming a little hot.
Of course, if you did go, I'd be glad to take care of your expenses. That goes without saying.
Well, I might be able to. I mean, I could talk to my boss, and...
Do you really think you might be able to arrange it?
Well, I can only try.
Emily, this is Tom Ripley.
How do you do, ma'am?
I'm so happy to meet you.
Well, come through, Tom. Come through.
So, here I am at the Greenleaf Smart apartment. They like me, but then I am being very likable. The conversation is dull, but the food is superb.
So you were raised in Boston, Mr. Ripley?
Yes, but my dear Aunt Dottie. I owe her a great deal.
So did you go to school in Boston?
No, ma'am. I went to Princeton.
Oh, do you specialize in anything in particular?
I sort of divided myself between accounting and English composition.
Really?
I wait for them to ask more. I met a guy last year who'd been to Princeton, so I pumped him for information, and it's here at my fingertips. They only have to ask. But they don't. Instead, they show me photos of Dickie.
And here he is, taking his first step. And, oh, my. Here he is, dressed as the blue boy.
The blue boy.
He hates that picture. This is his first day at school.
Richard only gets interesting when he got to be 16 or so. But even then, always the same bright, naive smile. Either Richard is not very intelligent, or he loves to be photographed.
I wonder whether you'd do me a special favor, Tom. I'd like you to take Richard some black woolen socks from Brooks Brothers. It's the kind he always wore. Oh, and a bathrobe. He's asked for one.
Any particular color?
No, you choose. Oh. I haven't gotten round to pasting these in yet. These are all from Europe. This is Mangibello, by the way.
Oh.
And here's the girl there, the only other American who lives there.
The girl is healthy and unsophisticated looking, with short, tousled blonde hair. The good egg type.
Marge Sherwood.
And Richard's still smiling. It's the same smile, but somehow more poised now.
There's quite a few here. This one is... I'm sorry. I just wish I'd never heard of Europe.
Emily, it's okay.
Mrs. Greenleaf, I want you to know that I'll do everything I can to make Dickie come back.
Oh, bless you, Tom. Bless you.
Later, after his wife is retired, Mr. Greenleaf organizes my travel to Italy for me, and then talks money.
Now, Tom, you're doing this on our behalf, and I know how much Emily appreciates that. I propose to give you $600 in traveler's checks apart from your round-trip ticket. How does that suit you?
That's more than generous, sir.
$600 should see you through 2 months or so. If you need more, all you have to do is wire me, my boy. It's for Emily, you see.
He tells me his wife has leukemia. He talks about things Richard said when he was 10. I feel bored and trapped. A poor state. I sit it out because I don't want to offend Mr. Greenleaf, and I really, really want to go to Europe. Only one problem. I hate water. It gives me a sick, empty feeling at the pit of my stomach to think I'm going to have water below me miles deep. Maybe it's because my parents drowned in Boston Harbor. It could have something to do with it. It's odd, though. It's one of the few things I tell people which is really true. It's why I was adopted. But every time I tell somebody, it feels like the most terrible lie.
Mr. Ripley, we were wondering if you'd care to join us in a rubber of bridge in the game room. We're starting in about 15 minutes.
Thank you so much, ladies, but I think I prefer to stay outside. Besides, I'm not too good at bridge.
Oh, neither are we. Oh, well, another time?
I know I'm an object of speculation. Is he an American? I think so, but he doesn't act like one, does he? Such a quiet, serious young man. I intrigue them. That pleases me. The terror of the sea evaporates. I buy myself a cap, a conservative bluish-gray woolen cap. I study myself in the mirror. I could be a country gentleman, or a Frenchman, or a plain American eccentric, depending on how I wear it. I've always thought I have the world's dullest face. A thoroughly forgettable face with a look of vague fright I could never quite erase. Now, I know I have an adaptable face. Given the chance, I can be anyone.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Ripley. Sorry we never got to play bridge. Enjoy Italy.
Thank you.
You know, you always look so serious. You must have something very important on your mind.
Well, they're right about that. The present and future of time. Tom Ripley.
Buongiorno! Buongiorno!
Here I finally am. Standing by the roadside, my suitcases at my feet, blinking in the strong autumn sunlight. Houses above and below, tiled roofs silhouetted against the blue of sky and sea. A babble of voices I can't understand. Eventually, I grasp that Senior Greenleaf is to be found down on the beach. Do I wait? Do I go? I decide to go. I leave my luggage at the post office, but I haven't brought a bathing suit with me and I need one. I buy one, but they don't sell sandals. I hate beaches. Some bronzed Italian adolescents stare in amusement at my ghost white skin and my big brown shoes. I feel faint in the heat. And then I see him lying on the sand.
Excuse me. You're Dickie Greenleaf, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And you're...
Tom Ripley. I met you in the States a few years ago, remember? I think your father said he was going to write you about me.
Oh, yes. Of course. Excuse me. Hi.
Hi.
Tom, what did you say?
Ripley.
Oh, sorry. Marge. Marge, this is Tom Ripley. Tom?
Marge Sherwood. Pleasure to meet you.
She doesn't even get up. I bend to shake her hand. She wasn't bad looking, if you like the rather solid type.
How do you do?
So, how long are you here for?
I don't know yet. I only just got here. I'll have to look the place over.
Sure. Thinking about taking a house?
I don't know.
Well, it's a good time to get a house if you're looking for one for the winter. The summer tourists have practically all gone. We could use a few more Americans around here in winter. Isn't that right, Dickie?
Sure. You don't seem to remember me from New York.
Well, you can't say I do. Where did I meet you?
I think... Wasn't it at Buddy Lenkinaw's?
Maybe. I hope you'll excuse me. My memory's rotten for America these days.
It certainly is. It's getting worse and worse. When did you get here, Tom?
Just an hour ago.
Don't you want to sit down? Here's another towel.
Thank you.
I'm going for a dip to cool off.
Oh, me too. You coming in, Tom?
No. Later, maybe. Race you, Marge.
They run off into the sea. I watch them. They're both excellent swimmers. I wonder if they're having an affair. One of those old faux de mire affairs. Since Marge is in love with Dickie. But Dickie? No, I don't think so. Plenty of chance to discuss me while they're in the water. I await the verdict.
Hi there again. We're leaving. Would you like to come up to the house and have lunch with us?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Here, Tom. I guess you could enjoy a martini, along with a view.
Thanks, Marge.
Dickie's house is pretty neat, isn't it?
It's very handsome.
Dickie doesn't go in for furniture. But what he has is good.
And do you and...
Oh, no. That's my house, just over there. Can you see it?
It looks like all the others, but I nod. It's obviously quite close.
Been here a year now. All last winter was quite a winter. The winters aren't fun.
Sorry, there's no ice. Nate said lunch will be in 5 minutes.
I forgot to mention, I brought a bathrobe for you. Your mother said you asked for one, also some socks.
You met my mother?
I happened to meet your father before I left New York, and we all had dinner at their apartment.
So how is she?
She was up and around. I'd say she gets tired easily.
But there's no particular crisis just now.
I don't think so. I think your father was more worried a few weeks ago. He's also a little worried because you won't come home.
Herbert's always worried about something. Did he offer you a job? He's always on the lookout for promising young men.
No, he didn't.
Dickie, what's bugging you?
Nothing.
He's not normally like this.
It's fine.
So, which hotel are you checked into?
None as yet. Which do you recommend?
The Miramar is the best. It's just this side of Giorgio's. The only other hotel is Giorgio's, but...
There are Pulci in the beds.
Mm, that's please. Of course, Giorgio's is cheap, but the service is...
Non-existent.
You are in a mood today, aren't you?
I'll try the Miramare.
Well, you've got to stay somewhere.
Oh, by the way, don't forget, I have the gift from your mother to deliver.
Sure. Let's have lunch.
And I'd love to see some of your paintings.
Another time. Well, I'm starving. I suppose we're bound to see you again if you're around.
Dickie?
What?
What's got into you?
I move into the Miramare. Outside, the boys laugh and joke all day, and I don't understand a word. In the late afternoon, I glimpse Dickie and Marge. I guess they're off down to the pier for a sail in Dickie's boat before sundown. They're enjoying a perfectly ordinary day as if I didn't exist. I left 3 days go by, then I go to the beach. He's in the same spot as he was before.
Oh. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Where's Marge?
She's probably working. She may be down later.
Working?
Yeah, she's a writer.
Oh. May I join you?
Yeah, sure. So where have you been keeping yourself? I thought you'd gone.
I was sick. I was hovering between life and the bathroom. But I'm all right now.
Yeah, well, because white as a sheet. I guess that's lack of sunshine.
I don't tan like you do. I was wondering, can I invite you for a drink at the hotel? I want to give you your bathrobe and socks. Marge, too, of course. If she turns up.
I don't think she's going to make it this morning. Okay, why not? I'll certainly take those presents off your hands.
Okay.
Well, the socks are the right size, and... I love the color of this bathrobe. It's really neat.
I can't even tell him I chose it. And he's got everything now and he's leaving. He's even going to refuse the invitation for a drink.
See you around town.
Of course, you do know your father's very concerned about your coming home. He asked me to give you a good talking to, which of course I won't. But I'll still have to tell him something. I promised I'd write to him.
Tom, I'm happier here. I love my painting, and I think it's my business how I spend my life.
I understand. He knows you don't want to work in the firm, but there's always the designing department. He said you'd like that.
Listen, my father and I have been over that. Thanks anyway, Tom, for delivering the message and the clothes. It was very nice of you.
He is offering his hand. I can't take it. I am on the brink of total failure. I have to act. I smile. I smile broadly as if it's a great joke.
So what's so funny?
I think I ought to tell you something. Your father, he sent me over here especially. He paid my way.
Paid your way? You're kidding.
No, he approached me in a bar in New York, the Green Cage. He followed me in there.
You mean Herbert went into the Green Cage? That's wild.
I told him I wasn't a close friend of yours, but he wouldn't listen.
Wow. Oof. He's getting desperate.
He seemed to think I'd do you a lot of good.
Oh, the voice of conscience.
He bought me a round-trip ticket and gave me $600.
$600?
Of course. I'm going to get a job somewhere in Europe, and I will...
Tom, don't bother. It'll all go on business expenses. I can't wait to tell Marge. The Green Cage?
Mind you, when I saw this old guy following me into the bar, I really didn't know what he was after. You know what I mean?
I play the story for all it's worth, and more. I can see my stock shooting up with Dickie and Marge. I am fun.
You were saying you might take a job?
Why? Do you have one for me?
I can't say I have, but...
Oh, I can do any number of things. I've got an unfortunate talent for figures. No matter how drunk I get, I can always tell when a waiter's cheating me. I can forge a signature, fly a helicopter, handle dice, impersonate practically anyone, cook, and do a one-man show in a nightclub with a regular entertainer sick. Shall I go on?
I demonstrate my non-existent nightclub act. They laugh. I am flying. My tongue rattles on independently of my brain. They had no idea I was so amusing. So, while Marge cooks, I get to see Dickie's paintings.
I guess I won't ever set the world on fire as a painter, but I get a great deal of pleasure out of it.
The paintings are not good. Well, not in my opinion. Probably not in anyone's opinion.
No, it's incredible.
There were paintings of Marge, but if she hadn't been the only girl around with blonde hair, I wouldn't have noticed any resemblance at all.
And these are... these are, oh, a lot of landscapes. be honest, what do you think?
They're all wild and hasty and monotonously similar. But Dickie is clearly proud of them, so I find it in myself to offer lavish praise.
I'm so glad you like them, Tom. I mean, okay, I'm never going to be Michelangelo, but I think I have something.
You certainly do.
So, how long are you going to be here?
Oh, at least a week, I'd say.
Well, then, if that's the case, why don't you come and stay here with me? I mean, there's a spare room here, and, well, unless you like staying in a hotel.
No, I'd love to come and stay. Thank you very much. Oh. And don't forget, I've still got about $500 left of the money your father gave me.
Wow.
I think we ought to have a little fun with that, don't you?
On $500, we can have a lot of fun.
So, for a start, maybe we'd have a trip to Naples.
Mm-hmm.
Marge as well, of course.
Marge isn't exactly that keen on Naples.
Oh. We go into Naples and get very drunk. It's clear Dickie is bored and is relieved to have someone new around. As we drink, I realize Dickie is very handsome. But sadly, he has nothing profound or original to say. I just wish I could speak Italian like he can. Time passes. I write to Mr. Greenleaf that I have moved into Dickie's house and tell him that Dickie is wavering over staying another winter in Italy and may come home. Meantime, Dickie and I go out on John's practically every week, courtesy of Greenleaf Sr. I feel confident in my ability to keep him amused. Only one person is not happy.
Hey, Marge!
Hi, Dickie. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Marge. We're planning to go up to San Remo next week. Any chance you can join us?
I'm sorry. I'm very busy with my book just now.
Oh. You're still up for the trip to Cortina?
I don't know. It depends how the book goes.
We've been talking about that trip for months.
Well, things are kind of different now. And I really shouldn't neglect my writing. You boys go and enjoy yourselves. Bye.
What is Marge's book about?
Oh, it's a book about Mongibello with photos.
Is she angry about something?
Well, I guess she kind of feels left out.
But we are always trying to include her.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want me to leave? I mean, I feel like I'm intruding on you and Marge.
Intruding on what?
Well, from her point of view...
Forget it. It's just that I owe her something. We've seen each other through some lonely times here during the winter. And I haven't been particularly nice to her lately. We haven't.
Suppose I talk to her about coming to San Remo.
Tom, if you do that, she certainly won't come. I'm going up to see her at her house after we've had lunch.
Shall I...
No, Tom. Just me.
After lunch, I let him go on ahead. Then I start up the hill back to the house. But outside Marge's house, I stop. I open the gate and step into the garden. I can see them in the window. Dickie is kissing her, little pecks on her cheek, smiling at her. Of course, he doesn't mean it. He's just using this cheap, obvious, easy way to hold on to her friendship. Now he's putting his arms around her. I run all the way home. I arrive, gasping, my mind stunned and blank. I go indoors. And something makes me go into Dickie's room. The closet door is half open. There's a freshly pressed, new-looking gray flannel suit I'd never seen him wearing. I find a pair of shoes. Clean blue and white striped shirt, a dark blue silk tie. I look at myself in the mirror. It's a perfect fit. Dickie and I have the same build, the same nose, the same jaw, if I held them right. Only my hair is darker. I part mine a little to one side, the way Dickie wears his. And then something happens. I start to speak, and when I speak, it's Dickie that's speaking.
Now listen, Marge, you've got to understand I don't love you. Are you listening to me, Marge? Marge, will you listen? Marge, don't make me do something I'll regret. Stop fighting me, Marge, stop!
I choke the life out of her. She lies there, limp on the floor.
You were interfering between Tom and me. No, not that. But there is a bond between us.
What the hell is going on?
I was just amusing myself. I'm sorry, Dickie.
And what are you doing wearing my clothes?
I was just... Look, I'll take them off right away. Did you make it up with Marge?
Marge and I are fine. I want to make one thing clear. I am not queer.
I never thought you were.
Well, Marge thinks you are.
Why? What have I done?
Just the way you act.
Dickie, listen, I'm not queer either, and I don't want anybody thinking I am.
All right. Just get out of my clothes.
I change back slowly. I'd stared into Dickie's blue eyes while he was talking. You were supposed to see the soul through the eyes. And I saw nothing more than if I'd been looking at the horrid, bloodless surface of a mirror. He has been snatched away from me. We are not friends. We do not know each other any longer.
My dear Tom, in view of the fact you have been with Dickie over a month and that he shows no more sign of coming home than before you went, I can only conclude that you haven't been successful. I want you to know that I and my wife appreciate whatever efforts you have made, but you need no longer feel yourself obligated to me in any way.
At the post office, I get the final blow. Mr. Greenleaf is ever so politely giving me the brush off. I failed, so my services are dispensed with. I pick up a letter for Dickie and head back. I feel nothing except a faint dreamlike lostness and aloneness.
Dickie?
Yes?
There's a letter for you.
Thanks. Look, I'm sorry if I lost it. But you have to admit, it was pretty weird.
I apologize.
It's okay.
I mean, I quite understand if you want to call off the San Remo trip. I mean, it's the last chance to squander your father's dollars before I go.
Are you leaving?
Yeah. I have to find some gainful employment somewhere, so I'll only be around another couple of weeks.
Oh, wow. In that case, I mean, let's go. The fact is, the other trips we've planned, like Cortina d'Ampezzo and the rest... To be honest, I'd rather go alone with Marge. I owe her something, and I think she'd prefer it.
Of course. So let's make this our farewell trip.
Okay. I guess I owe you something, too.
A few days later, we're on a train up to San Remo near the French border. Dickie is still cool with me. He pretends to be sleepy. He folds his arms and closes his eyes. I sit opposite him, and I stare at his hands and his two rings. A large rectangular green stone set in gold in the third finger of his right hand. And on the little finger of his other hand, a large and ornate signet ring. I think about stealing the green ring before I go. Dickie takes it off when he swims and showers. I could do it the very last day. I realize I want to kill him. A couple of times I'd felt that before, when I was angry or disappointed, but the impulse vanished immediately. Now I think about it for a minute, for 2 minutes. After all, I'm leaving Dickie anyway, so where's the shame? I have offered Dickie friendship, companionship, and respect, and Dickie has replied with ingratitude. And now, hostility. And it takes my breath away. My heart is pounding. I realize I could kill him on his trip and simply say there'd been an accident, or, and this is really brilliant, I could become Dickie Green.
Tom? Are you okay?
I'm fine. Why?
I don't know. I...
You've been dreaming. And look, we're nearly in San Remo. A main drag along the beach with shops and stores. Dickie does some shopping for Marge. We walk by the harbor. Dickie is bored. And I'm thinking, where? It'd be easy in the hotel room, but how do I get rid of the body? The body has to disappear. That only leaves the water.
I'm not sure why we bothered to come. It's kind of disappointing after the build-up.
Well, how about a boat ride? Why don't we try that?
Okay. Why not? Just for an hour around the port.
Of course, Dickie takes the tiller and we head out to sea.
This is great! Always feels so much faster when you're in a little boat.
Best idea you've had in a long time.
How deep is the water here? Water terrifies me. But it's not that which is making me sweat. There's an oar. A single oar. In the boat.
I thought you hated deep water.
Why, you dare me to jump in?
You bet I am.
Well, I'll do it if you will. Will you?
Sure. Just let me strip off. Come on.
He bends to pull his trousers down.
Oh, hey, what are you doing?
The prostrate body relaxes, limp and still. I take the rings, a keychain, Dickie's silver lighter, and I stuff them in my jacket. I watch him for signs of life, but there were none. I reach for the rope, which is tumbled around the white cement weight, which is meant to serve as an anchor. I loop it around Dickie's ankles. There's no time to be afraid. The rope is about 35, 40 feet long. The cement weight seems just about enough to hold down a body. The body might drift a bit, but it isn't going to come to the surface. I hurl the weight into the water. The rope is pulled behind it, draws taut at Dickie's ankles, and then I have to heave the body overboard. It costs me a great deal of effort. I still hate water. In a dry, empty-looking stretch of tan beach, I gather stones the size of a human head. I drop them, one by one, into the boat. When the boat begins to sink, I shove it out into deeper water and watch it sink well beyond my reach. I plan my return to the hotel and my story there. And my return to Montebello and my story there.
Hi, Tom. So you're back. Where's Dickie?
He's in Rome.
He's gone to Rome?
Yeah, he's planning to stay up there a while.
Is he staying with somebody?
No, just a hotel. He asked me to come down and pick up some things for him.
But...
So how's everything been in our home sweet home?
Oh, dull, as usual. You look like you had a good time in San Remo.
We did. Can I fix you a drink?
No, thanks. So, how long do you think Dickie's going to be away?
Well, I don't really know. He says he wants to see a lot of art shows up there. He fancies a change of scene. Oh, and by the way, where did I put it?
Put what?
Your cologne, your Stradivari. He remembered you'd ask him to get you some.
Oh, thanks. It's my favorite.
I'm glad that I remembered to remove the shop's wrapping paper, because it had bloodstains on it.
So, how long are you staying?
Where?
Well, here.
Just overnight. I'll be going to Rome tomorrow. Probably in the afternoon.
And you really don't know how long Dickie's going to be staying there?
Well, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad tidings, Marge, but I believe he's thinking of moving to Rome.
Moving to Rome? For how long?
I don't know. Possibly for the rest of the winter.
He's not coming back all winter?
Well, no. He said he might even sell the house. He said he was going to write to you. I thought you might have got the letter this afternoon.
No, nothing at all.
Well, I'm sure he's planning to let you know what he's decided.
So, where's he staying? I'd like to write to him, too.
Oh, what's the name of that hotel? Near the Piazza di Spagna.
The Inglaterra?
That's it.
And are you going to stay with him?
Maybe for a while, just to help him get settled. But then, I suppose, around the middle of December, I'll be going back to the States.
But what's he going to do about Christmas? Do you think he wants to have it here, or in Rome, or...
Well, I don't think here. I have the feeling he wants to be alone.
Oh. I see.
Poor Marge. She looks so shocked and hurt. But wait till she gets the letter I'm going to write from Rome. I'll be gentle, of course. But there'll be no mistaking that Dickie doesn't want to see her again. I plan the letter on the train to Rome, and once I'm installed in the Hotel Europa, I get out Dickie's Hermes baby typewriter, which I brought along, and do the deed.
Write me care of American Express, Rome, until I know where I am. She'll let you know when I find an apartment. I'm terribly sorry about Christmas, darling, but I don't think I should see you that soon, and you can hate me or not for that. All my love, Dickie.
My version of Dickie's signature is improving, but I need to practice more. Dickie's monthly remittance from America is due in less than 10 days. I gave his passport in at the hotel. They never checked the photos, only the passport number. His fine rings fit my hands perfectly.
Buongiorno, Signor Greenleaf.
Buongiorno.
I've done very little to change my appearance, but my very expression is like Dickie's now. I have his smile on my lips, open and friendly. I speak as him in my room. I study myself as him in the mirror. And then I go out into the streets, and I am him. My Italian is not as good as his yet, but I'm working on that.
Dear Mother and Dad, I'm in Rome looking for an apartment. I met a wonderful painter called DiMassimo. Was willing to give me instruction in his studio. I'm going to work like blazes for a few months and see what happens. Oh.
Too many commas. Dickie doesn't understand commas. I'll have to type it again. Time passes. I collect Dickie's remittance and sign for it. But I know I must stay alert. Marge may get suspicious, or some other friend of Dickie's may turn up. I have to be ready to jump back into my own character.
Tom, wake up.
Dickie?
Yeah. Listen, I'm all right. I'm alive. I swam.
Don't touch me.
But isn't it great news? I swam.
No. Go away. Go away.
You hear that laugh? You'll never get that laugh right. It's better than any of your imitations. I swam, you see.
Leave me alone, Dickie. You're dead. I know you're dead.
Il giornale, signor.
Grazie.
Prego.
Bacca affondata con macchie di sangue. Trovata nell'acqua fondo, vicino Sanremo.
It was always going to happen. They found the boat.
It is described in detail. It says that the stains are believed to be blood stains. Nothing definite. But it doesn't say what the police or anybody else intends to do about them. Pronto.
Signor Greenleaf, there are two signori of the police downstairs to see you.
Very well. Tell them to come up. Two polite police officers. One middle-aged, one young.
Signor Greenleaf, I am Tenente Lavarini, and this is my colleague, Sergeant Buffy.
Buongiorno.
Take a seat.
Grazie.
So, how can I help you, gentlemen?
We believe you are a friend of Mr. Thomas Ripley.
I am, yes.
Do you know where he is?
I think he went back to America about a month ago.
I see.
I don't understand.
We are trying to find Thomas Ripley. We think he may be dead.
Dead? Why?
You were with him on a trip to San Remo in November, were you not?
Yes, I was.
So where did you last see him? In San Remo?
No, I saw him again here in Rome. He brought some luggage up for me from Mangibello.
So when did you last see him?
I'm not sure I can give you an exact date, a month or more. I think I had a postcard from him from Genoa. He said he was going to go back to America.
You think you had the postcard?
I know I did, but why do you think he's dead?
Did you take a boat ride with Thomas Ripley in San Remo?
A boat ride? Where?
In a little boat around the port.
Oh, yes, we did. I remember now. Why?
Because a little boat has been found sunken with some kind of stains on it that may be blood. It was lost on November 25th. That is, it was not returned to the dock from which it was rented.
November the 25th was the day you were in San Remo with Signor Ripley.
But nothing happened to us on that boat ride. There was no accident.
Did you bring the boat back?
Of course.
We cannot find Signor Ripley registered in any hotel after November the 25th.
Really? How long have you been looking?
Long enough.
We know you registered here on November 28th.
And Signor Ripley didn't stay with me in Rome. He went back to Mangibello, and then...
So where did he stay when he came up to Roma?
At some small hotel. I don't remember which.
And where did you stay after San Remo and before you came here?
I stayed at a pensione in Forte di Amore.
Which one?
I don't recall. I still don't understand why you think Tom Ripley is dead.
We think somebody is dead in San Remo. Somebody was killed in that boat. We think that was why the boat was sunk, to hide the bloodstains.
But there must have been a couple of hundred people renting boats that day in San Remo.
But only Thomas Ripley seems to be missing.
Excuse me, but are you saying that you don't believe me when I tell you I saw Tom Ripley here in Rome around the 1st of December?
Oh, no, of course not. We just wanted to hear what you would say about your traveling with Signor Ripley after San Remo because we cannot find him.
I wish I could help.
Have you still got that postcard he sent you from Genoa?
No, I'm sorry, I haven't.
Do you know any other friends of Signor Ripley?
No, sorry. I don't even know him very well. At least not for a very long time, but I think he knew someone in Florence or Firenze.
Va bene, we shall inquire.
Just one more thing. I want to ask you if it's all right for me to leave the city. I've been planning to go to Venice. I'll leave the address of my hotel so you can reach me.
I don't think there'll be any problem with that, Signor Greenleaf.
Buongiorno, Signor Greenleaf.
I breathe a sigh of relief. And then I think, is it all a trick? Are they just giving me a bit more rope? A sly bastard, that inspector. Pronto.
Dickie?
No, it's Tom.
Is Dickie there?
Dickie'll be back in a couple of days. He went to some little town with DeMossimo to look at some paintings in a church.
I didn't realize you were still in Rome.
Oh, I'm just borrowing the place for a couple of days till Dickie gets back. Then I'm off again on my travels. So how are you, Marge?
Well, I can't pretend winter's much fun down here on my own. I'm missing Dickie, I guess. I'm planning to come up to Rome, so I'm hoping to see him there.
I'll tell him.
There was a letter from Mr. Greenleaf. I think he's losing patience with his prodigal son and his excuses. And there's a letter from Dickie's bank in Naples, querying the signatures on the receipt for Dickie's remittance. I can write and assure them that the signature is indeed mine. But truly, it is time to leave Rome. I take Tom's passport and clothes alongside Dickie's. After all, Dickie may be under suspicion of murder, and Tom Ripley is going to have to come back. Venice is everything I want it to be. But I know this is the end of Dickie Greenleaf. I hate becoming Thomas Ripley again. When I pull off Dickie's rings and put on Tom's grease-spotted, unpressed suit of clothes, which had never been very good, even when new, I cry. But at least I look around St. Mark's Cathedral before I do what can no longer be put off.
You are Thomas Ripley?
Yes.
May I see your passport?
Of course. I don't know what the trouble is, but when I saw in the papers that I'm believed missing, I... Well, what happens now?
I shall telephone to Rome. They may want to see you.
Well, I wasn't actually planning on going to Rome.
Maybe they come to you.
Where are you staying?
At the Costanza.
Well, Tom, what now?
Quiet. I have to practice.
You're not going to get away with this. They may send the same policeman.
Maybe they will.
And then, well...
So, I make my eyebrows darker with a lead pencil. As Dickie, I was neat, so is Tom. I'll be sloppy. I'll comb my hair differently. It's all in how you think. How you speak.
Poor Tom. Poor... Poor Tom.
Get the hell out of here, Dickie.
Buonasera.
Buonasera, Mr. Ripley. I'm Tenente Ravarini della Polizia Romana, and this is Sergeant Murphy.
Signor, please take a seat, gentlemen.
I choose an armchair in which I can slouch in a very un-Dickie-like way. But Ravarini spends more time looking at his papers than at me.
You are a friend of Signor Richard Greenleaf?
I am.
When did you last see him, and where?
I saw him briefly in Rome, just before he went to Sicily. Well, that's what he told me.
And did you hear from him when he was in Sicily?
No.
When you were in Rome, did you not know that the police wanted to see you?
No, and I don't understand why I'm said to be missing.
Never mind for the moment.
So, Signor Greenleaf never mentioned the fact that we wanted to see you?
No.
Very strange. So, Signor Ripley, where have you been since the end of November?
I've been traveling. Mostly in the north of Italy. Milano, Torino, Faenza, Pisa.
But we inquired at the hotels in Milano and Faenza without success. Did you stay all the time with friends?
No, I slept quite often in my hire car. I don't have a lot of money.
May I see your passport?
Of course.
I assume the faintly anxious expression, the firmly parted lips of the passport photo. My hair is parted in the same manner, and my tie in the same loose triangular knot.
Thank you. Well, that settles one important matter, the mystery of the Sanremo boat.
What mystery is that?
A boat was found sunken there with some stains that were believed to be bloodstains. The boat was missed the same day that you and Signor Greenleaf were in Sanremo, so we thought it was advisable to ask him what had happened to you.
You mean...
And now we ask you what has happened to him, eh? But we've seen both of you since that day in Sanremo, so on that count, all is well.
It's absurd.
But you really have no idea where Signor Greenleaf might be at this moment? He is no longer in Roma, and we cannot find any sign of him. Do you not know whether perhaps he had... problems? Women problems, for example?
I don't think so, but I'm not the best person to ask. Why don't you speak to Signorina Sherwood? Marjorie Sherwood? She's more likely to know than anyone.
We already spoke to her. She came to Roma just after Signor Greenleaf disappeared.
And she couldn't help?
Not over this, no. And there is also the matter of the remittances sent him from the United States. There was some doubt about whether the signature was his. He wrote to say that it was, but then he suddenly vanishes.
You don't think he could have been murdered?
I don't know, but in any case, he is hiding from us. Something is the matter.
Well, anything I can do to help...
One thing. I just hope we can reach you more easily next time we have questions to ask you.
Well, I promise to keep in touch.
I'm as interested as you in finding my friend.
Grazie tanti, signori. Buonasera.
Buonasera.
Buonasera to both of you.
Oh, my. Oh, ho!
Tonight I'm going to have a dinner and look out at the moonlight in the Grand Canal and see the gondolas drifting lazily by. And then, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have an envelope in my possession. It'll be written on it that it is not to be opened for several months to come. And I'm going to make sure it gets to Dickie's father.
Tom. Tom.
Yes, Dickie?
What are you doing?
I'm writing your will, Dickie, on your typewriter. And I'll sign it as you, too.
You won't get away with it. It'll be like the remittance checks.
But I've not been caught out yet, and I've had more practice since then.
But what about witnesses? You'll need them.
Oh, I'm not going to risk that. If it's challenged, it's worse than no witnesses at all.
My father will never buy it. He'll use private detectives to find out what's happened.
Maybe he will. It's worth the risk.
Tom, you're mad. You know that?
And you, Dickie, are dead.
Well, I suppose the rings settle it. So he said that if anything happened, he wanted you to have them?
That's right. I asked him what he thought was going to happen. He said he didn't know, but something might...
Did he seem depressed?
No more than any other time I've talked to him. It never crossed my mind he might kill himself.
Of course not.
I'm sitting in a restaurant in Venice with Marge and Dickie's father. It is months later. The story of Dickie's disappearance has been front-page news, but no further discoveries have been made. Yet.
He just doesn't seem the type somehow. I thought I knew him. Why would he do something like that?
I don't know. He wanted to be a painter. But maybe he knew he'd never be a very good painter. He tried to act like he didn't really care and pretend he was leading the kind of life he wanted to lead. But I think life was beginning to get him down.
I still can't believe it.
Oh, I can.
Mr. Greenleaf,
the fact is, I never thought much of my son's stability. These Italian police, for some reason, seem reluctant to admit he might be dead. Maybe it's bad for tourism. But I've employed detectives myself. Highly recommended, best that money can buy. I owed that to Emily. But they found nothing either.
I still can't accept it was suicide. Maybe he's been killed in some back street. Maybe he's been kidnapped. Maybe he's in hiding.
I feel so bad. If only I'd known. I could have tried to stop him leaving. I miss him. I miss him terribly. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He meant much more to both of you than he did to me.
It's okay, Tom. I'd really have thought there was something the matter with you if you didn't break down like this.
Thanks, Marge. I'm very sorry, sir.
Oh, that's all right. You can imagine how Emily has taken it. I've been meaning to talk to you about that envelope you gave me, Tom.
I thought it was better for you to open it.
It contains Dickie's will.
Oh, my God.
Which does again suggest he meant to take his own life. He's left his money and his income to you, Tom.
But I don't understand. Is there some kind of mistake?
No, the will makes it very clear. But there are no witnesses.
And... Mr. Greenleaf, you don't have to rush into anything.
Thank you, Marge, I know that. So Emily and I have had to think about it all very carefully.
Tom, did you know anything about this?
I had no idea. I don't know what to say.
You're absolutely sure the letter is genuine, Mr. Greenleaf.
Marge, I understand your concerns, but I've made up my mind. Tom?
Yes, sir?
I have to confess, it surprised me at first. But we knew Richard was very fond of you, even though he never went out of his way to tell us in his letters. So Emily and I agree that we should carry out his preferences and the spirit of them, whatever he may have done with himself.
Mr. Greenleaf, I don't know what to say. Poor Dick, he...
I can have anything I want now. music, paintings, sculptures, but I don't want masses of them. I'm not greedy. Just a few select, exquisite objects. I will give them the love that cherishes their beauty, and in return, they will remind me that I exist. First, I want to travel. But where? Paris, Istanbul, Bombay, Rio. A trip to Crete, perhaps. I imagine landing in Crete. The bustle of the excitement on the pier as my boat comes into the harbor. The small boy porters avid for my luggage and my tips. But now I start to see four motionless figures standing on the imaginary pier. There are four Cretan policemen waiting patiently with folded arms. Are there going to be policemen waiting for me in every port I ever approach, every destination I ever imagine? What if there are? It won't necessarily mean they're looking for me because Dickie's body has floated back up to the surface. Will it?
In The Talented Mr. Ripley by Patricia Highsmith, dramatized by Stephen Wyatt, Tom Ripley was played by Ian Hart, Dickie Greenleaf by Stephen Hogan, Marge Sherwood by Barbara Barnes, and Mr. Greenleaf by Malcolm Tierney. Mrs. Greenleaf was played by Janice Acqua, Roverini by Stephen Critchlow, and Buffy by Matt Addis. The director was Claire Grove.